This episode is sponsored by our friends at SongTrust. SongTrust is the world's largest technology solution for global music publishing, royalty collection, and administration. It was founded to simplify music rights management and to remove complexity from the publishing landscape. SongTrust collects publishing royalties for more than 2 million songs with a community of more than 300,000 songwriters and rights holders. Use promo code PUBCAST20 and sign up for 20% off your SongTrust registration. Hey, AIMP Nashville PubCast friends. Today's exciting episode is with Kent Earls, partner in Verse 2 Music with Kane Brown, a co-venture with Sony Music Publishing. Today, we discuss not only his new company, but we dissect the difference between indie and major publishers. And we cover it from both the business side and the creative side. Hey, AIMP Nashville PubCast listeners, welcome back to another episode. Today, we are sitting with my friend Kent Earls, who is now the proud owner of his own music publishing company, co-venture with Sony Music called Verse 2 Music. I did get the name right, correct, Kent? That's correct.
Yep.
And it's a joy to be sitting with you today in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm looking forward to chatting about your journey into the independent music publishing world. So welcome aboard, Kent.
Thank you, Tim. Happy to be here and excited to be on the indie side again. From where
back.
I started.
Yeah. How many years has it been? It's been a few years since you've been in the indie
20,
world.
Yeah. I was at Universal for 21 and a half years. So
there it is, my friend. So yeah, I don't know if you even remember this. There was a point when I was thinking about doing my own company and you and I were talking, you'd have been at Universal for a while and you were the one who gave me some advice. I thought you got to do it soon enough so you don't price yourself out, because these benefits and stuff in the majors gets pretty good. It's harder to leave that shit. And I always remembered that, man. And that's why I started Parallel when I did, because I guess that is a bit of a concern. So you got paid a lot at the majors is what I'm hearing. I'm kidding.
Well, that honestly is that and the benefits. I mean, that's how they get you. That's how they get you to stay there. Every time I thought about leaving, they kept sweetening the deal. And it was too nice, too great, too much money to walk away from. So, and that's exactly why I said that, because it is, in order to build something, we all know you've got to start from zero. And that's a tough pill to swallow for some people.
So that's a great kind of a jumping off point, and we'll get into more about your company specific, but one of the bigger challenges starting an independent company is being smart, because I get that a lot. Like, what's it take to do a small company? And I always started, because we both know our good friend Rusty Gaston had this music for a long time. One of the things we talked about, our friend Mike did the same. You do have to take a pay that's commiserate. You have an overhead you have to stare at and deal with and prepare for. And I will say, currently in Nashville, that's harder when you talk about, rental of a property and all that kind of stuff. So you have to be wise to structure your company in a way that makes sense, that has a long-term benefit. So we always tell writers that. Remember, you tell writers, we need time. Yeah. What we need is time.
That's exactly right.
So don't look at your
That's the most important. That is the most important thing, I think, with working, with songs and songwriters, is you have to have the time for it to work. I mean, it very rarely are you going to have a writer that walks in and writes a song and it gets recorded and it's released and, certainly not a week, not a month, maybe a year, and that's kind of what you're looking, you're hoping for, is to have some, have your releases in the first year. But yeah, you have, that was my mindset, was I knew I wanted to set it up, that I could take the least amount of money I could take for my contribution to the company. And the company is a 50-50 co-owned between me and Kane Brown. And it is, like you said, a joint venture with Sony. But I needed to take some salary, to pay bills. And, like you said, it's going to be even harder now than it was when you probably started Parallel, simply because of the standard of living that is happening right now in Nashville. You can't go to sleep, or I can't go to sleep worrying about my writers not able to make ends meet. So you have to pay them a decent draw so they can focus 100% on songwriting and not having to work at Home Depot or in a restaurant or whatever they need to do to supplement their income. And so that drives up the advance or draw, and which also makes it harder to, you know, to make it back. So it is definitely a lot harder in 2021, you know, than I guess even 4 or 5 years ago.
How did it come together with Kane? I know you guys had an established relationship prior at your former publishing company, where you had worked with him then. But what instigated this conversation of you two wanting to jump out and begin a company together?
Kane, you know, I signed Kane very early on when he was actually still living in Chattanooga, and he was driving back and forth to co-write songs. And we started a great relationship and worked several years while I was at Universal. And then when I called to let him know I was leaving, first thing he was like, "Hey, let's go do our own thing." And of course, you know, it was like, well, you know, hang on to that thought. I, you know, contractually we can't do that. And, but when we're able to talk about it, I would certainly want to talk about it. And so, I guess fast forward, it was about 14 months, and Kane and I were hanging out at his house, and, you know, the subject came back up, and he was like, "Yeah, I was, you know, very serious, let's talk about it. How would it look?" And I said, "Well, let me go and kind of put something together, you know, to make it make sense for you and for me." So I took, you know, a couple months, talked to a lot of people in town, got some opinions, and essentially kind of structured it. And then we opened the doors on January 1st, 2021.
What made you guys decide to partner in with a major? My guess is you probably could have been funded either by Kane or other avenues. Is there something that made you guys decide Sony was the place to be?
Yeah, you know, I think Kane felt like that's where he wanted to be as a songwriter, first and foremost. And even though we didn't have to do the joint venture there, my relationship with Rusty, you know, is many years long, and we've always worked well together. And I felt comfortable being there. Also, secondary, Rusty had talked to me shortly after he knew he was going to take the Sony job, that he mentioned that, "Hey, I'll give you a joint venture if you want one. You know, I'd love to work with you. So I'll, you know, give you a joint venture." And I said to him also, "Hang on to that thought. let me kind of figure out what I want to do." And I think that all goes with the whole thing of going back to being independent. It's where I started. I started at a small mom and pop publishing company called API, and was a song plugger first. And, you know, as a lot of people may or may not know, the independent small places are where publishing executives learn publishing. That you learn it. You learn. You have to do all the jobs. So you're not just tasked, like if you were at a major, you'd be tasked to do one job. At independent small companies, you're tasked to figure it all out. So the main thing that I knew that would make me happy is I wanted to work with writers on the micro level and not on the macro level anymore. And I love being in the trenches with writers and artists. And that's what really, at the end of the day, after taking, I don't know, a year to kind of figure out what I wanted to do the rest of my career, it was, you know, working with songwriters and artists from the beginning. And I hope that answered the question.
Oh yeah, completely. That was great. Yeah. And I want to throw out that the Rusty we're referring to, because we all know Rusty, is Rusty Gaston, who now runs Sony Music Publishing. I almost called them by their old name. They have a new name now, rebranded. But I want to point out one thing that I get this a lot. Like, it's so important in our business that you build relationships. It's a relationship business. I think that's with a lot of communities of different companies and fields other than just the entertainment. But without a doubt, one of the greatest things about what we do is our community and having those friendships where, believe it or not, for you guys starting out, the younger ones, you and your friends one day will probably be running companies. So it's kind of fun to be able to do business with friends. So I think it's great that that you and Rusty get to work together. And I always give that as advice, is to build relationships, take care of those relationships, because, you know, we all get sideways absolutely. On occasion.
Oh, we absolutely. It's business, you know.
But to build that, and then going to, I love that you mentioned micro, macro, because also so many of us, when we get into the business, you're like, I want to run a company. I want to do this. And as we're speaking, we've had these opportunities. But what you don't realize a lot of times when you get there, your actual hands-on time disappears. And what we mean by that is you get called into higher conversations of deals, handling the deals, managing the deals, a lot of lawyers, a lot of, you know, dealing with licensing, and you don't get that day-to-day joy of working with the creative guy. I know you Kent are one of those. I will just go on and brag on, like, Kent was always one of the best song guys. Like, when I started out, I was like, that guy's just a rock star. Like, he was so good at getting cuts. He was great at signing the right talent. And you did see this morph into, like, now I'm business guy. And we'll just say a discontentment with some of that. Not that you were not great at that as well, but to see you light up and talking about this, we had breakfast a while back, by the way, just for context, but to see you now and see the excitement you have back in you and see you back on the field with the kids is pretty awesome, man. So,
yeah, that's exactly what it is. I like to say when you're coming up in your career, like you said, you should always have a goal. And my goal was to run one of the major publishing companies. I don't know why. I guess just back then it was like, oh, look at the Mount Rushmore of guys that run the majors. And I wanted to be one of those guys. And I got that opportunity. And I think based, you know, historically on, you know, I guess my ability to sign the right talent and work with that talent and get the songs cut. And you quickly realize that you look around at companies and that may not always be the best thing for you or the company, because they take you out of what you do best and they put you in a seat that you may or may not excel. So I had to put the creative hat aside, and I had to become a lawyer. I had to become a CPA. I had to become a human resource manager. And like you said, your time is gone at the end of the day. I tried to hang on to it as much as I could. I would pitch songs as much as I could. And the last few years, it was zero. I ended up not pitching any songs. And so it's kind of tricky. But then you realize, oh, well, my real passion is working with songwriters and artists. And that's why I'm excited to get back into this seat where it feels really, really comfortable.
Going back to the micro side, like, now we're back hands-on, you're starting your own company. Now, somebody might say, well, you got to wear a lot of different hats at an independent company because you are kind of overseeing different things. How do you see that being different than what you were doing in the major field?
Well, you know, when you're running a major, it's 100-fold. It's you know, times 100 what you're dealing with when you're running starting a brand new company. You're starting a brand new company. You're starting with zero songs, so you know I'm not having to, you know, run down licenses or try to get the songs in film and TV or different things like that. Now, hopefully, in a year, when we've got some releases and things are popping, then I'll have to add some more employees to help with that. But when you're first getting started, you're obviously trying to recruit talent, develop that talent, get your songs heard, let everybody know who you are, where you're at. And also the fact that I do have a venture, I'm able to turn the songs into them. They obviously admin those songs. So I don't have to do as much paperwork and oversee that paperwork. I trust Rusty Gaston and his team to handle all that. And so far they've done an incredible job.
Yeah, that's a smart move. When I started my parallel independent company, I did everything, including song registrations for a minute. I eventually hired on an admin, but there wasn't enough. But I'll be honest, I kind of enjoyed it. I liked learning. So I kind of learned the process and was able to, one of my favorite things, I'm kind of a nerd on archiving. I know you had some tape room experience. Like I like when you can start at a baseline of zero and create your own systems in the way you've always wanted them instead of inheriting other people's stuff, man, it's such a joy. And maybe I'm a little nerdy in that fact.
No. It's always, I always say, you know, we are in a creative business, but you also have to have the other side of the brain. Details, and especially in publishing, is so important. You've got it's a penny business. I guess now it's a micro penny business. So every fraction of a penny counts, and you got to make sure you know where everything is and who's collecting what and all of that. So no, you have to always be learning, always staying on top of it, all of it.
So I know via press releases that you've already signed your first writer other than outside Kane and that established relationship, but you signed the one and only Josh Hoag recently.
Yes.
So that's exciting.
It's very exciting.
He is one of my favorites. It's a big personality, that guy. Gotta love him. What is your goal? Do you have a number in mind of where you want to go, or is it just going to be to where you get as far as other writers? And are there other writers you can talk about yet?
Yeah. No, there is no number. I've never operated by, I've got to have a number. I think that it's whoever walks in the door that I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about going, I have to have them in my life. I have to work with them. And that's what I've always done, where you realize after the second or third meeting, number one, do they have the work ethic to do it? Number two, do they got the talent? Number three, do you have the passion for them? Because you are going to be in the trenches with them. You are going to be their cheerleader. You're going to be their psychologist. You're going to be basically their significant other. For the most part. So when I figure out, hey, that's somebody I want to be in that way with, is when I decide to sign them. So yes, we have Josh Hoag signed, and it is public knowledge released and all that. We're over the top about Josh. He was actually the first professional writer that Kane co-wrote with in town. He's co-written, I want to say, like 12 of Kane's songs, several of them hits, several of them album cuts. But so it made a lot of sense when he came up, you know, out of his deal, and he knew that we were talking about putting this together, and he was really excited and wanted to be the first writer signed, and it just made a lot of sense. Since then, since January, we have actually signed 4 more writers and artists, which if you would have asked me January 1st, how many writers do you think you'll have by June? I would say, I don't know, 1 or 2. And we actually have 5 because the other 4 all fit that description.
Hey, thanks for listening to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. We hope you subscribe in your favorite podcast platform and follow us at AIMP Nashville to stay up to date and informed in the world of music publishing and songwriting. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is created by executive producers Del Bobo and yours truly, Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter. Thanks again for listening and supporting the AIMP Nashville Pubcast.